and welcome to Nourish Your Biblical Roots Special Edition. I'm Dr. Paul Pano of the Church Relations Department of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and it's my great honor to be your host for today's podcast. We're broadcasting from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and during our time here, we've been talking with special guests on a variety of topics, especially as they relate to Israel, the current situation there, and the work of the fellowship. Today, I cannot express how delighted I am to have on as our guest in this special presentation a man who is a man of distinction in the kingdom of God. It's been my joy to know and to fellowship with Tony Suarez, who is the founder, as many of you know, of Revival Makers. Revival Makers is a spirit-filled evangelistic ministry that travels from church to church, as well as hosts events, tent revivals, healing services, and crusades around the world. Now, I can speak from reading what is reflecting his ministry, but it's been my joy to have experienced it personally. This man of God is being used in a mighty, miraculous, supernatural way to touch the lives of people around the world. And Pastor, we are so honored. You know, I say pastor, you're an apostle,
wow.
You're a prophet. God is using you in tremendous ways.
Well, and I'm so thankful for it. But the one thing that's left off of there is that I'm a friend of Dr. Paul Pano.
Oh.
They need to add that. I thank God for you, for who you are, that you would let me, and I mean it sincerely, that you would let me into your life and be my friend. The example that you've set over so many years of excellence, of advancing the kingdom of heaven, and teaching us how to be a true friend on both sides to the Jewish people and to the Christian people, and how to intersect that, be the bridge builder. And I honor you today. And forgive me for taking over, but I was recently at a church preaching and a conversation came up of your family and how two generations previously, I believe it may have been your grandfather or possibly your father, preaching in an area in the south part of the United States, but how someone came to the Lord through your family. And I thought, just what an impact your family has had for so many generations. And so I honor you today. The Bible says there's people that are worthy of double honor. And Paul Pano is one of those people.
Tony, you said that exactly the way I gave it to you.
Can I get paid now? Or I'm so thankful for you.
Share with those that are with us today how the Lord has directed your life and where you are today in the ministry.
You know, I was born and raised in Chicago. My father was a Colombian immigrant. My mother was born in the United States and went to Colombia as a missionary. And apparently, I don't know how effective her ministry was, but she, you know, married my dad. So I think that's pretty cool. That was her souvenir, she used to tell people. But they settled in Chicago, pastored Spanish-speaking churches. And I grew up, ironically, you know, since we're here, especially, I want to give honor to Rabbi Eckstein and to the memory of that great man of God. I grew up seeing these commercials on television.
Yes.
I'm an old soul. And so, you know, in the early days, I was, you know, at 4 years old, I'm watching Christian television with a suit on. And I remember the commercials coming on for the fellowship and Rabbi Eckstein's impact on Chicago and then the nation and then the nations. So I grew up in that setting. I became a church planter, lived in Virginia. And right around the time that you and I really, that God brought our lives together in brotherhood, I lost my first wife to cancer. And you were a good friend to me through that season of transition, which ironically was 8 years ago this week that she was diagnosed. And I was the single father of three children. I remarried later in life. But all throughout that time, I've traveled as an evangelist. So I pastored a church. I traveled as an evangelist. But again, there was constant friends like you, the fellowship, Rabbi Eckstein, and now seeing the incredible leadership of his daughter who has come to the forefront. And I think we were talking the other day about succession and how sometimes succession takes place in a family just solely based on a last name. This is divinely orchestrated, influenced, and anointed of heaven, because her leadership is literally taking the fellowship to another level, which in at least in Christianese, we hear that phrase a lot, and it's almost cliche. She has actually, God has anointed her to take this fellowship to another level, and I'm just thankful to be a friend of it and to see it and to see where it's going.
You've been through that transition, but what was it that inspired you into the stand for Israel that you are taking?
I think someone would hear this and say, well, it's the cliche answer, but it's the only answer. It was the word. When you read the word of God, when you read it for what it says, doesn't matter which translation you use, what language you read it in, we know that there is a covenant between God, this land, and its people. And he is not a God that changes his mind about his covenants. And it was reading that, understanding that, and respecting that. You could have no other opinion for where we're to stand when it comes to Israel and the people. And so it was that. And then historically, in modern times, I'm a student of American history. I think all of us fancy ourselves that to one degree or another. But the oppression that the Jewish people have suffered, be it at the hands of wars or the Holocaust or even present day persecution, and seeing that we don't seem to ever learn the lessons of history, we forget it so quickly. And so many things that could be prevented now today if we simply retold the history of old. And if there's one thing, you know, Christians should be thankful, because we wouldn't have a Bible without the Jewish people. Before there was pen and paper, before there was floppy disks and hard disks, and then USBs and whatever else they do today, a cloud, now they tell it. Well, before there was a cloud in the sky, there was a cloud that led them through the wilderness, right?
Yes.
But it was the Israelites telling their history, making sure to pass it down. There's a psalm that really stands out to me, and I believe it's Psalm 77, that says, don't be like your ancestors that forgot. That means someone stopped telling the history. There was a family that stopped talking about the Exodus. They stopped talking about the Red Sea and the wilderness and what God did. And when you stop telling your testimony, you forget the miracle works of God. And on the Christian side of things, had the Jewish community not if they wouldn't have kept the history alive through simply telling it to one to another, there would have never been a Gutenberg press. There would have never been someone that could put it to paper and then replicate it. But we stand at this moment in history where even with pen and paper, even with the digital tools we have, it seems like we've forgotten the oppression of the Jewish people, that there would actually be people that would doubt the Holocaust, that they would doubt the conflict of what's really happening in the Middle East. It's shocking to me, but then I have to give pause and say, someone stopped telling the history. Someone stopped telling the stories. That's the only thing that I can. I know there's definitively a demonic evil agenda at work. We recognize that. But then there's the other side of it that I have to chalk it up to. Someone stopped talking about it. Someone stopped telling the history. And that's why we've lost compassion for the Jewish people. But thanks be to God for the fellowship, for friends on both sides that are saying, we will not let the history be forgotten. We will tell the history, and in doing so, I believe will be an agent of change for today and for the future.
One of the things, Tony, that I admire so much about your ministry and the way God is using you, if you can comment on this, it seems that in so many of our evangelical churches today, what is coming from behind the pulpit is not a clarity of the scripture, of the word.
Yeah.
And you talked about losing the history. Are we not raising up a generation of young people who are biblically ignorant?
Yes. If you go to a church that, I'm going to be bold, the fellowship might want to put a disclaimer up right now. These are the thoughts and the opinions of Tony Suarez, not Paul Pano, not the rabbi, not the bishop or anyone else. If you go to a church that does not have Sunday school, I didn't say a pizza party for kids where they're playing movies. I'm talking about Sunday school for adults and children. I'm convicted. I don't want to tell you to leave your church, but you need to talk to somebody and say, we need to learn the scripture. I am the way I am. Dr. Pano is the way he is because we had fathers that taught us the word. Our nose was in the word. We had to memorize the scripture. We had to know what thus saith the Lord. And we've raised up a generation that knows the house of the Lord. I'm getting cliche, but they don't know the God of the house. They're in the pool. They're in the room with the pool at Bethesda, but they've never experienced their own miracle. They have to know the word. I'm going to liken it to a parable. Forgive me for being a preacher for a moment.
Good.
We bought when I first moved to Virginia Beach 19 years ago, my first wife and I, she passed away 8 years ago. She and I bought a house and we bought a stove. We didn't have a lot of money at the time, so we had to be very particular of what stove we bought. And the sales lady got me on the warranty. She said, sir, 30 days. If you don't like it, no questions asked, you can return it. Well, in those 30 days, we ended up having a kitchen fire. I won't say whose fault it was.
Yes.
It's under the blood. But I got to thinking.
No longer cooking.
Yes, no longer cooking. We had had it about 15 days. And I looked at my warranty. It said, regardless of the reason, no questions asked. So I called the store. They came. They got the stove. They took it out. They brought me a new stove. Now, someone could say, I don't think that's right. You shouldn't have called. Well, your opinion might be that I didn't have a right to do it. But according to the warranty, I had a right to call the store and get a new stove. I have found a lot of burnt out Christians that haven't read the warranty. That Bible is the warranty of your life. It says that if you're weak, you can claim you're strong. If you're poor, you can say you're rich. If you're sick, you can say you're healed. But they haven't read the warranty. And it doesn't matter who doesn't think you deserve a second chance. There's someone watching that deserves restoration. And there might be someone out there that says, I don't think they deserve a second chance or a fifth chance or a 100th chance. And they have a right to their opinion. All that matters is what the warranty says. But if you don't read it, if you don't read what the word says, I'm getting a little too preachy, forgive me. If you don't read the scripture, you won't know what's at your disposal. And so that's a long way to come back and say, a lot of people don't know what God's warranty to Israel is, to its people is. What God, he never said, you're the apple of my eye for a season.
Yes.
They are forever, forevermore, the apple of God's eye.
And everlasting is a long time.
Everlasting. As soon as I find out when everlasting expires, I'll let you know.
Yes.
But it is an everlasting covenant between God and his people that we are to respect, honor, cherish, and defend. And I think that brings us to where we're at this moment in history. To Christians, we cannot be silent in our support of Israel. It's not enough to simply say it at home or whisper a prayer that no one hears. We must be vocal, we must be public, and we must at times be demonstrative in our love and our support for Israel, because it's time to stand for the Jewish people and its land.
Amen. Of course, the ministry of the fellowship, that's what we're doing.
Yes. Eternally speaking, you are the hands and the feet of Almighty God. You are doing the ministry of that same God that loved Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Christian believers. You are supporting the least of these. I grew up watching the commercials, and now I've seen it because I've been in Israel, and I was able to see what you do for the impoverished, the people that you've brought home to the nation of Israel, and standing in the middle of the warfare that's taking place right now, the enemies of Israel that have brought such death and despair on this land right now, you haven't vacated the land. You stand there, missiles flying, hostages being taken, but the fellowship is there. They're not just on the sideline sending a drone over. They're there, and their leadership won't leave, because they say, we will not abandon the people. That is the kind of brotherhood, sisterhood, that we must stand with. You're not getting someone's opinion off of the 14th page of Google of what they think is happening. You're getting the firsthand accounts. And that's why I appreciate the fellowship so much, because it's not just a message. You're living it out, and you're doing what some of us can't do. We're not there, but you're there, and I thank you forever for being there.
Tony, that's powerful words. And I want to thank you for your taking the stand that you are taking and not backing down. Your voice is speaking to multiple generations. And from a biased position, I want to thank you because you are speaking the word to the next generation.
Thank you.
And that is our hope. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. Could I impose on you to close our time together by going to Father God and just offering a prayer of blessing?
Father, I thank you for this day. It's written, this is the day the Lord hath made. So I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. I rejoice in Dr. Pano and the bishop, the rabbi, and all of the work that they're doing around the fellowship and around the world. We bless their work. We bless their effort. We bless their finances. We bless the nation of Israel and its people. And we thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to be alive for such a time as this. And we say it's done in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. If and when, I should say when, because I know there's no if about this, you see anything that tells you that Tony Suarez and Revival Makers is coming to your area, do whatever you have to do to get there, because it will be a blessing and encouragement to you. Tony, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pano.
Bless you.